I'm going to invite you to take your Bibles and look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, we looked at Luke chapter 10 last week. And I just again to remind you of our theme verse for this year that we're focusing on as we start out this new year, because we shared with you last week our theme for the year. I know the world has a tendency to use this same theme for other things like gambling. Or somebody shared today, one, they heard about smoking marijuana. All right? Well, we're not all in for those things, right? But we are all in for God. And I think it's okay to be all in for God. And where do we get that from? Luke chapter 10 and verse 27. And it says, "And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all of thy strength, and with all of thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." You know, being all in, again, the world looks at that in various ways, but God has laid it out in Scripture of how we can be and should be all in. And we're going to be looking at this theme for the next few weeks at least. And today I want to draw your attention to Acts chapter 2 and our text verse as we'll read it. And if you're able to stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word, I want to invite you to do that. Acts chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Now the word Pentecost means 50th, and it actually refers to the harvest, which was celebrated 50 days after the Passover. So they were all come together in one accord, but this time of coming together was far different than other times. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as, or like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all of the house, that is the entire house where they were sitting." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning, how precious your word is to all of us. We don't take for granted the privilege that we have, or may we not take for granted, God, the privilege that we have to be able to hear your word preached and to read it today. God, I know that Satan would like for us to be focusing on things that maybe we've got to accomplish after church today or later in the week. And Satan has a way to distract us, Lord, and may we not be distracted from the message this morning. May God, we give our undivided attention to you, for you're worthy of our worship, our time that we've given back to you today. And I pray, Father, that we can all leave here better people than we came. Encourage us now, we pray, in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Day of Pentecost had arrived. The Bible says they were all with one accord. That is, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, the Bible describes it. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And let me begin by saying that Pentecost is not a denomination. Make that very clear. It's an event that took place. Now, there is a denomination that is named after this event, but the origin of the day of Pentecost was not the beginning of some religious group. Luke chapter 24 and verse 19, verse 49, in Luke 24, 49, kind of clarifies it a little bit better. And it says, "And behold, I send the promise." Well, what is that promise? The same promise that's making reference to in Acts chapter 2. And that is the promise of the Holy Spirit. "And behold," God says, "I send the promise," that is the Holy Spirit, "of my Father upon you, But tarry ye, that is to stay ye in the city of Jerusalem, until you be endued, that is, until you're clothed with power from on high. Now, what took place in the upper room in Acts, here in our text, in chapter 2, was simply a fulfillment of God's statement to his disciple in Luke. Now, the passage in Acts speaks to an important point that is often overlooked by many, even in among believers. Verse 1 tells us that they were all in one accord, in one place. They were all doing, in other words, exactly what the Lord had told them to do. What were they doing? Well, what did God tell them to do? He says, wait. That's what they were doing. They were waiting for the promise that Luke chapter 24 and verse 49 speaks of. Waiting for the promise that the Father said was going to take place. Now there is a pattern revealed here that I think deserves a closer look. After they were endued, that is, after they were clothed with the power, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came upon them, how? In a mighty way. Now this small group of believers, we know later they went out, and because they had now the empowerment of God upon them that they did not have before, they went out in Acts chapter 17 and verse 6 and says they turned the world upside down for Christ. They turned the world upside down. Now before, they did not have this power to do so. But now they did, because they all came together in one accord waiting for God to move, and God did. Now let me ask you, would it be safe to say that they had a profound impact maybe on their city and their country and eventually the entire world? Well, it's obvious they did, because God says they turned the world upside down. And I ask you the question today, as we think of this theme that we've announced, being all in, what about us? Now, I believe that this church, Fountain City Baptist Church, has made a difference in the lives of our city. We've been established now for right at 45 or so years. And from what I gather, this church has a good testimony in the community, and praise God for that. I haven't heard whether we've got a bad name. Now, does everybody like us? No. Does everybody want to come here? No. We'd love that to be the case. I mean, I'd like everybody to like me, wouldn't you? But not everybody likes me. I don't know why. But you probably say the same thing about yourself. But yet, I feel like, as a church, not braggingly, and I don't want it to come across that way, I feel like we've made some sort of impact in our city for Christ. I believe we can say the same thing about our state. I mean, there are people that know about our church in other parts of the state. And I would like to venture to say that maybe we've made some sort of impact around the world. I believe that to be the case simply because we have missionaries that represent this body of believers in other parts of the world. But I don't think I'd go to the extent of saying that we're turning the world upside down for God. Because I think there's still room for growth, don't you, in that area. I think that we need to still make some improvements. Any church that has their focus on God hopefully would say that. We should never get to the point where we think, well, we've attained, so we can just sit back and do nothing. No, listen, there's still a job to do, not only in our word Jerusalem, but in the world, much like I believe was taking place at Pentecost. And I want to consider this passage a little closely this morning. Now, if we were to survey the members of Fountain City Baptist Church on any given day, I do not believe that we would find one member, and I hope not, who wanted to hinder the work of God through this church. I just don't believe that. I don't think if we took a survey, we'd find somebody that says, you know what, I want to hurt that church. I want to hinder what they're trying to do. I just don't believe there's nobody here that has that mindset. Now, I know that there are those on the outside of this church, maybe, who are following after the enemy who would love for Fountain City Baptist Church to fail as a church, or any church that's promoting the gospel. But I'm not interested right now in what they have to think when it comes to that. I want us to think about our own membership, our own body of believers. Now, understand this morning that a person does not have to openly oppose the work of God in order to hinder it, right? Matter of fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30, "He that is not with me is what? Is against me," Jesus says. "And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." Now that's a powerful statement, Jesus says in Matthew 12 and verse 30. "He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." Now what kind of picture does this verse show us? To me, I see the Lord busy in the work, and there are two groups of folks in view. Now, in this verse, I see there's one group who is actively involved in the gathering. Do you see that in Matthew 12, 30? There's one group that's involved in the gathering, and then you've got another group that's involved in the scattering. Now, it's kind of like the analogy of picking up toys with my grandkids. Your grandparents know what I'm talking about. You go in, you try to pick up the toys after your grandkids or parents do the same thing. And as fast as you put the toys away, and what are they doing? They're taking them out. I mean, you're gathering together, and then they're taking them out, and they're scattering them. And you know, our focus and purpose are different, right? I mean, my grandkids and me, our focus and our purposes are different than what we're trying to accomplish. So we are working against one another. And sometimes we see this happening in the local church. I'm not just saying it about our church, but I'm saying in general about the local church. There are those who are working together and those who are not. And that's in every church. But you see the believers on the day of Pentecost. What is one phrase that stands out in this passage? The Bible says they were all in one accord in one place. Now, then they were empowered because they waited for the promise of God. What happened? They were empowered to do a mighty work for God. You know, without the Holy Spirit present here today, we might as well go home. Because what makes this a church today is God's people gathering together with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God upon this place. What allows us to sing our praises and to give our best is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God. What empowers us to go out into the world and to be a witness for God, much like we see here demonstrated in Acts chapter 2, was that empowerment that came upon them. Now, this was their first experience. They were waiting on that. Now, at the moment that you and I came to know Christ as Savior, we were empowered at that very moment with the presence of God in our life that never leaves us, never forsakes us. God's always with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to look at this passage in Acts chapter 2, and there are three things about this verse that I want you to pay close attention with me on when it comes to being all in. First of all, we can agree, as the Bible says, they were all with one accord in one place, right? You see that? They were all in one accord in one place. Now, God says what He means, and He means what He says in the Bible, doesn't He? That's what I was talking to George about this week. George, who I'm witnessing to. And I told him, I said, George, you go out here and you can listen to all the Bible teachers that you want. But when it comes down to it, we need to get into what God's Word has to say. It really doesn't matter what I say or what some Bible teacher says or some TV preacher, but what is God's Word says? Because you know what? God says what He means, and He means what He says, right, in His Word. Now, in this verse, He said all, right? And that's all that all means. Now, it hadn't always been this way. If you remember the account of the resurrected Lord as He came about, Jesus is now resurrected from the dead. And what was one of the first things He did? He went and began to visit the disciples and other believers on a Sunday evening. Now that must have been an exciting service when they came together and Jesus is there, but they wasn't all in. Why? Because there was one that should have been there that was not, and his name is Thomas. Thomas was nowhere to be found. Now, but on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says they were all assembled together. They were all in together in one accord. Now, does it make a difference? Well, of course it does. To be all in, it makes a difference. Now, it makes a difference in every area of our service. I'm not just talking about numbers. We can get hung up on that sometimes as churches. Well, you know, we count the heads of people sometimes who were here and then have a tendency to brag about, look what, how many we had in our church today. Numbers are important, granted, and I don't want to discount that fact, but when it comes to numbers, that's not what I'm talking about in particular. I'm talking about people. They were all in. Now, believers are encouraged to not neglect meeting together. We see that God's given us a command of meeting together in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. You can turn there and read it later, but it just simply says for us to not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as believers. And now, how many times have we said to ourselves, if we could just get everyone here at one time, boy, we'd have a nice crowd. Now, listen, I've said that a number of times over the years. I'm sure you've probably thought that. Boy, if we could just get everybody here. Now, last couple of Sundays, man, hitting off the new year, we've had folks and a few families that we hadn't seen in a while, and it's great. And my thought was, boy, I wish they could come every Sunday. It was exciting to see them here. But, you know, and I granted, sometimes there's things that interrupt our schedule. And so please don't take offense of what I'm saying just because you may miss a time or two over the year. Listen, I'm not talking about that. But I do know that a lot of times we miss because we just maybe had other reasons that were outside of family matters or sickness or whatever. Because maybe we feel, rather than feel all in, we feel all out. Ever feel all out? I just don't want to be a part. You know, human nature gets involved sometimes. So does that when reading our Bibles. Boy, you can get excited about reading the Bible and all of a sudden wake up one day and not too excited about reading the Bible. So when the flesh gets involved, and boy, it can pull us away. And we've seen that illustrated time after time in Scripture, where there are believers who have a great heart for God, but yet sometimes fail themselves, not all in. But when God's people are all in, listen to me, God has made this clear, when God's people are all in to come and worship God together, so much is done to encourage one another. I get encouragement from you. I really do as a pastor. Now, I don't say that just because I need a pat on the back or whatever, but, you know, I tell folks, I have an extended family. And my extended family is my church family. And as the longer I'm here as pastor, the harder it becomes in this way, because sometimes over the years you start losing family members. Sometimes those family members begin to die off. And for a pastor, and I don't want to sound pity, but, you know, when you've been here for a long period of time, any pastors at a church is for many years, when you're family, it's like losing a real family member. And so that's the way it should be, by the way, for all of us. We should hurt when others hurt. And when people are going through difficulties, it ought to be that we go through that with them as best we can. But we come together for one purpose, much like what we see here in Acts, to come together to worship God and to encourage one another. So they were all in one accord. Excuse me, and in one place. Secondly, they were all in. They were all with one accord in one place, it says. They were all with one accord in one place. Now, there's a Greek word, and I'm going to try to pronounce. I'll mess it up. That speaks of a group that's acting as one. That's what that one accord is talking about. The Greek understanding is homo thuma Homothumadon. Oh, homothumadon. You say, preach, that's a long word. Well, it is. That's why I stumbled over it. Now, I'm not trying to impress you. Obviously, I didn't. But that's only used one time, and it's here. It's here. And it's talking about having one mind, one accord, a group acting in one. Now, what does that mean? They were in one accord by agreeing, in agreement on what they were there for, right? Hopefully that's the case with us here today. We're in one accord and in agreement on what we're here for. What is that? Well, because God says I'm to be in church. I'm here because God said to be here. Hopefully you're not here because you think, well, the preacher wants me here. Well, yeah, I want you here. But you're here not so much because of the preacher or the Sunday school, but you're here because God wants you here. God, matter of fact, said to be here, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And that's what they were gathered there in that room. Why? Because God says, let's all come together. They were there in one accord. They were all in agreement that they're there because God said to be there. And then they were all waiting. What were they waiting for? They were waiting on the promise. What promise is that? Something they'd never experienced before. That's the Holy Spirit of God. So God says, come, let's come together. Okay? God says, in one accord. Okay, we're coming together in one accord. Now, what are we waiting for, God? Well, hang on, just stay in there. Don't go nowhere. Wait for the promise. And what happened? Well, God's promise came along, but you know, as you're sitting there, have you ever went to a ball game? Now, I go to a college football game at least once a year. Now, I get in there early. I like to get my seat early, and I'll sit in the stands early and get popcorn maybe or something like that. But I'm sitting in my seat, and I'm waiting. And what do you think I'm waiting for? Anybody know? Come on. I'm waiting for the team, man. I'm waiting for my ball team. Now, they'll have people come out, and they'll make all kind of the band. I love the band, but I'm not there for the band. You know, don't want to offend any band members, Brother Frank, forgive me. But I'm not there for the band. And I'm sitting there waiting and time, watching the time, and boy, it's getting exciting. The crowd's getting all into it, and the band's playing louder. And the more all of this builds up, the anticipation of what I'm there for gets bigger. My blood begins to run through my body a little bit faster. Because I just can't wait for that team to run out onto the field. But I'm waiting with great anticipation and excitement. And boy, when the team comes running out, boy, I'm one of those that stands up and cheers my team on because it's happening now. And that's where that Greek understanding is. We are come together in one mind, acting as one. We're come together in agreement. We're waiting for the promise. And they were all anticipating one thing, to hear from God. Oh, listen. They wanted to hear from God. Now, waiting gets hard sometimes, doesn't it? You ever pray and expect God to answer and boy, it just didn't come when you want it? That anticipation builds. Well, they knew they were gathered together in one accord, all of them, in one accord, in agreement together. They were waiting, and the anticipation is building. And when the Holy Spirit of God comes, boy, it made a difference. What about us? You know, we must ask ourselves this question. Are we in agreement of why we've come together today? Are we? You know, I recently read of a comment sheet. Listen to me. This is true. I read of a comment sheet in another church that listed why they should cancel their Sunday evening services. Now, a lot of churches, sadly, are doing that. And repeatedly, listen, it was mentioned by some of the people filling out the comment cards that they came to church simply out of guilt. Came to church out of guilt. Now, I can understand where some would maybe fall in that category. But let me ask you this. Is that why you've come today? Are you here because you feel a little guilty? Because, you know, we don't want to feel guilty. That's a terrible way to feel, especially come to church. Now, if so, then if we have that tight feeling, we might as well pack up and go home, right? If that's our true feeling, if we're here because of guilt, because if we do not come together with one accord and one mind, then you know what? If the church doesn't come together with one accord and one mind, then what's wrong with the church? We're in trouble. We're in trouble. And sadly, that's the thought process of some. And I read to you, they filled out the sheet. These were honest answers. And maybe you've even thought that way. But that should not be why we're here, obviously. For obvious reason. Because what it does, it hinders the church. It hinders really what God wants you to be here for. We should be all in one accord, in one mind. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 8, that double-mindedness is dangerous. It says a double-minded, that is a divided man, is unstable in all of his ways. Now, there are some believers today that live divided lives. And we've been all been there maybe a time or two. And that is, by living divided lives, they live between God and the world. Some use the phrase, they have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. Sometimes that's the case when we come to church. You know, and it's a dangerous position to be in. Now, this is we can expect that to be true for unbelievers, right? But I believe it is equally true for believers as well, which really always will affect the church. So if the point I'm trying to make here, if we lose sight of why we assemble together, if these folks at Pentecost had lost sight of why they're assembled together, then I dare say many of them would have missed the promise that God had for them. If we come together for the wrong reasons, then we'll miss the promise that God has for us. I believe the church will be unstable if that would be the case. We need to come together in our thinking. That's what God says. We should come to church because God commands us to do so, right? God says that we're to assemble ourselves together in one accord, one mind. And we should come to church with anticipation of worshiping God and hearing God's word. Now, granted, I'm not the best speaker to sit under. Best preacher. There's a lot of better preachers and speakers that sometimes we can find ourselves sitting under. But if we can get beyond who's preaching and know it's the word of God will never go void, then we should be able to come to church with anticipation. Listen, I love the singing part, don't you? I love the choir. Did a great job up here this morning. But you know what? I love getting into God's word, don't you? Now, there would be those, and I've had it said, well, if I could just go to church and didn't have to hear that preacher preach sometimes, I'd go more. Maybe there's some that's thought that. If I could just go to church and wouldn't be preached to. Sometimes we think we're being preached to. Didn't mean to slobber a little bit. Just came out. Miss Faye, you'll get that one. I'm just picking. But some, we do, you know, we love singing. I love what we're able to do here. We've got dedicated Sunday school teachers that plan and prepare every Sunday for a lesson that God's laid on their heart to teach. I live with one who teaches a Sunday school class, and I know my wife. There's times she probably puts more time in her Sunday school lesson than I do my messages sometimes. It makes me feel guilty. There I use the word guilt. But granted, you know, I appreciate that in Sunday school teachers who take the time and never know who's going to show up. But hopefully we come with anticipation of, of opening God's Word. I love the singing, but let's get to the preaching. Let's open God's Word. We should come to church that we might go out empowered to be witnesses for God. So we come together in thinking we should come to church because God commands us to, right? You agree with that? Man, God commands us to come together. We should come to church with anticipation of worshiping God and getting into God's Word. You agree with that? Amen. We should come to church that we might go out empowered. That's really, hopefully, when you leave here a little bit later today, you feel a little bit more empowerment because you come. Maybe some song was a blessing, but you know what? That's not going to stick to you like the Word of God. But what empowers us is the message that God wants us to leave with today. It's only found in His Word. So thirdly, the Bible says that they were all with one accord in what? In one place. One place. By the way, does that one place here, let me make it clear, does not refer to the location. Usually when we read this, we are thinking that this is a reference to the upper room. The Lord uses a different word here. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, if you want to look there, you can. But it says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Now, why were they assembled together? Because, again, God commanded them to. They came waiting with anticipation. And it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what they were waiting for, the promise. And they spake the word of God with what? Boldness. Something they never had before. Where did that boldness come from? Came from God, the empowerment. Now, in Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, the reference is to the physical location. Will would agree with that. But in Acts chapter 2, in our text, there's one word used for the phrase one place. And it simply means they were all together. I gave you that word earlier. I'm not going to try to pronounce it again. But they were all together in one place. In other words, would you agree with the fact they were all in? I mean, they were all in. They were together. When we come together, it's not the place that is important. For instance, this evening, if we chose to, and we've done this from time to time, we can meet over in the fellowship hall. You think God can meet with us over there? Sure He can. And sadly, there are folks in Wetumpka today don't have a sanctuary to meet in. The Presbyterian church is wiped out. I love that church. To ride by there and see that church is built back in the 1800s, it's gone. Those folks don't have a meeting place there. The First Baptist Church is gone, pretty much. The Methodist Church is gone, pretty much. So they've had to find locations. One church is meeting in the Civic Center, I was told, and one church is meeting in, what's the other place somebody said? The theater, yeah. And there, I don't know where the others are meeting, but you know what? Well, God can't meet with them in the Civic Center. That's not the church. That's not what God says. God says that we come together. We come together in one place. Now, it is a fact that we are together. That's important, right? Jesus says in Matthew 18, verse 20, that wherever two or three are gathered together in His name, He's right where? Right there in the midst. So many of our missionaries, I don't know if you've studied, but many of our missionaries don't have church buildings to meet in. Matter of fact, most of them will find a home to meet in. And God's people would come together. You know, it isn't likely that they were in a room, as we see here in Acts chapter 2. It makes more sense to the passage that they were in the temple area in preparation for the observance of the Passover. Now, in our lives, the one place could be here in the auditorium. It could be in the fellowship hall. It could be in a classroom. Or it could be someone's home. Like the Lord says, wherever. We need to come together in one place. So the application for us today as we conclude this morning is that when we come together this year, I want to challenge you as a church that we need to be all, we all need to come together because we are a body of believers. And by the way, and every part of the body is necessary for maximum effectiveness. In other words, you may be sitting here preaching, well, nobody misses me when I'm not there. You are missed because you're part of the body. Jesus says in 1 Corinthians 12, 14, using the analogy of a church, he says, for the body is not one member, but many. You know, I love having a right arm. I'm right-handed. But boy, if it was gone, I'd miss it, wouldn't you? You'd miss yours. I'd figure out how to get by some way or another, but boy, it sure helped to have that right arm. And the same applies when we choose to not come, then we affect the church. 1 Corinthians 12, 20 says, but now are they many members, yet one body. We're many members, but we're one body in Christ. And 1 Corinthians 12, 26, it says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. You know, one day when we get to heaven, yes, we're going to give an individual account for ourselves. But I honestly believe, folks, we get to heaven, we're going to give an account for what we've done to make an impact in our city right here at Fountain City Baptist Church with the gospel, not only in our city, but around the world. You know, we need to be all in when it comes to being together, right? As one body. The second thing this year I want to challenge you with is that when we come together, we all need to come together with the same purpose of mind. That's what the disciples and all did here as they gathered at Pentecost. They came together with one purpose, or actually the same purpose of mind. And what do we come together? Well, we come in here to praise and worship God in expectation of God's blessings, right? Now, if you came and thinking, well, I'm going to see what that preacher's got for me today, then you're not going to get much. But if you walk through these doors expecting a blessing, then you've got to be willing to give back. And to be empowered to witness to the world is another thing that we should come. To be empowered. I want to leave here better than I came today, don't you? I want to feel more empowered today than I came. Maybe a little more encouraged than I came. A little more uplifted than I came. And because you see, that's part of what we come for today. I want to have the same purpose that God says we're to have, to be able to edify and strengthen one another. As I said earlier, I get strength from my church family. I get a little building up sometimes when I'm down. Do you? Hope you do. Because sometimes we need to. Paul was constantly writing to the churches and edifying them, to encourage them. Because you see, we go out in the world here in a little bit, there's going to be somebody that Satan has ready to knock us down. Somebody's going to say an unkind word, whether it be a family member or maybe someone that isn't all in and the church kind of offended you in some way along the way. That's going to happen. We could be part of that. When really our attitude is, how can we have the purpose of mind to edify and strengthen one another? And to bear one another's burdens. You know, sometimes I have people, and part of it's because I'm the pastor, but sometimes people come up to me and share their burdens, some of the load that they're carrying. And I appreciate that, you know, from the fact that we can pray for one another. But when I've been in that position where, you know, I realize you don't want to just share everything you got going on with just any and everybody. But maybe God's put somebody in your life, maybe a few people along the way in your church that where you can go to and share your burdens and know that, hey, they're going to be my prayer partner. Boy, that's having been a part of carrying the burdens. Because you know what? The load gets heavy sometimes, doesn't it? But when God brings people in our life like a church family that's all in for God, then it's good to know you've got a church family that's willing to help carry burdens. Not to talk bad about you or talk down, but hopefully that'll be our goal this year, that we'll be all in together when it comes to having that purpose of mind, to come together with expectation of God's blessings, to come together to receive the empowerment of God, to go out and be a witness in a lost world, to come together to be able to edify and strengthen one another, to be able to carry one another's burdens. And then the last thing here, this year, let's be all in with the same purpose of mind in one place, wherever that place may be. I was thinking yesterday, what if the tornado hit our church? It could have. Sirens were going off all around us. And I was down here at the church when the sirens were going off yesterday. And I was praying, God, protect over us. Protect over our families. And then a little bit later, I get home, I see the news, I see the church is destroyed there, and I'm thinking, God, what if that'd been us? I mean, it's a Saturday. I know what preachers are thinking. You're ready to go with your message, pretty much. I mean, and then all of a sudden, this tornado moves in and it wipes out the church building. Now, you're thinking, where am I going to preach? Don't have a building to preach in. And where are we going to sing? So quickly, people obviously got together and planned that out, and we'd have to plan to do the same thing. But you know what? Sometimes things have to be done in a time where we least expect it, doesn't it? But if we come together with one purpose of mind in one place, it doesn't matter whether we have this building or another place to meet in. As long as we come together with the purpose of mind of worshiping God, giving Him praise, wherever that place might be, God is promised to meet us right there.